observations of Ben, plus another party which has been doing a very similar thing.
Okay.
We have noted, and this mainly involves the pattern of driving habits of people on the freeway system here in Southern California. And we've measured both, and either one or the other has been present. If this signal has been measured for 2 to 3 hours, or even up to 4 hours, we have noted mass stupidity, actually, in the driving habits of people on a freeway system.
Must be on all the time.
Yeah. No, it does change. We have observed that. And when it has been present for 3 to 4 hours, we observe this. If it's only been present for, say, an hour, hour and a half, it does not occur. And we observe this phenomenon now, if you want to call it phenomenon, I think it's a reality, if you want me to be honest with you, for almost a year and a half now on measuring ELF measurements.
Yeah.
In fact, I drive approximately 80 miles of freeway system per day just to commute between my place of work and my home. And every time we measure a strong 3 hertz signal for multi hours prior to me making my commute, I get tangled up with, let's say, the 30 to 40 miles of complete idiots, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
That's the way most people put it.
Yeah, well, anyway, or turkeys or whatever you want to call them, on the freeway system. And no coherency to their driving patterns whatsoever. When these signals are not present, the whole freeway system is entirely different. Now, this is the reason I asked that question. And
okay,
if we have enough time here, I have another frequency to question you about, which we have measured, that we do not understand where it's coming from.
Okay, basically, are you saying that the 3 hertz signal is coming from outside the vehicle, or is it a function of the electrical system of the vehicle?
Did you hear that, Ron?
No, I did not hear.
Well, he wanted to know if you thought that the 3 hertz signal was a function of the the vehicle itself, the electrical system in it, or was it coming from outside?
Oh, no. No. This is ELF emission.
Okay. So it's outside signal.
We've seen, say, the cloud patterns being set up on a 5 hertz or even 7.5 hertz basis many times.
Right.
Watch the clouds form, watch the clouds change when the signal disappeared. And then maybe 20 minutes, an hour, half hour later, suddenly we're getting the 5 hertz, the 2.5 or 3 hertz signal at approximately the same intensity. And like I said, if we have this signal for 3 to 4 hours, we notice this mass stupidity in the pattern that the way people drive on the actual freeway
mm-hmm.
system here in Southern California.
Yeah.
Okay, Andre?
Okay, very briefly. There are several factors at work here. One is, I'm sure you've probably heard Bob Beck's lecture about the scalar wave experiments done out of Los Alamos, which caused a lot of damage in Southern California. So our own people are doing, I mean, that he gave as a public lecture. Our own people are doing experiments, basically, as you know, trying to catch up with the Soviets. Number two, there's been West Coast bombardment by the Soviet Union for the last 8 or 9 years. And I don't know whether that's part of the equation. I don't know exactly what you're doing to triangulate the source of the signal. Are you trying to triangulate it all and locate it?
Are you trying to locate the source of the signal, Ron?
I'm pretty sure that's the source of the signal. That isn't the problem. The thing is, when it's present, we get this result, and it's been pretty well confirmed by myself and one other party.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will go a little farther. We did some research and got into the computer at the City of Hope in Duarte, California here, which has computer data on every physiological or medical phenomenon known to man. And there is nothing in that computer, data-wise, in this range of the frequency spectrum. And it kind of interests me because it seems like everything kind of chops off below about 6 hertz. And that's another question. Why is this? Why isn't anyone studying frequencies lower than that?
Well, there are classified projects looking at frequencies. If you look at the astronomical literature, they're studying waves coming out of the sun at 1,000 1/1000th of a hertz. So studies are going on way down in the spectrum from natural occurring ELF stuff coming out of the sun. And there's a big literature on that, incidentally.
Well, I was referring to medical data and psychological.
Well, that's pretty much classified. You're not going to get anybody to do it in the open literature that I know of. The fact is, I'm setting up a program to look at that very sort of thing in a foreign country because I can't do it in the United States.
Does that help you, Ron?
I only got about 25% of that. The level's so low, I can really...
Well, he said it's very difficult to do it here to get any information because the work being done is basically classified. And, you know, they classify everything in the United States, and he's taking his studies outside the United States where it can be done.
That's the same conclusion I've come up with. It seems like once you get in the theta or beta range, it's a no-no. You're not supposed to talk about it.
Absolutely.
You're not supposed to detect it or anything else.
Yeah. So listen, when I get out to California, let's get together and have a heart-to-heart about the nitty-gritty.
All right. I'll get you two together.
Okay,
I copy that, and that's a real good idea.
Great talking to you.
Bill, I've got one other question to ask him.
Okay.
On numerous occasions, one time, which Tom Bearden mentioned in his book, by the way, we had a unique power outage here. And we measured a frequency which is almost synchronous with the television frame rate, 29.7 hertz. Now, I've measured that frequency twice. When it appears, it is intense. It is a magnitude of 100 times greater than any of the Soviet ELF signals that are present. Do you have any idea what this 29.7 hertz signal is? And it's definitely a ground wave.
Well, in that frequency range, I'm not going to give the exact frequency over the air, but there's a frequency right near there which is very destructive of human behavior because it pulls calcium out of every cell in the body, whether it's brain cells or bone cells or whatever. And the great expert on that in your part of the country is W. Ross Addy at the Veterans Hospital in Loma Linda. And he has published stuff going back, I would say, to about 1977 or 78 on that. Half a dozen papers, so I would look that up. You know who W. Ross Addy is, don't you?
You know W. Ross Addy, Ron?
No, I don't.
Well, he's a big expert on the West Coast. He's at Loma Linda Veterans Hospital, okay?
Yeah, in that near range, Ron, in case you missed part of that, it has a way of pulling the calcium out of the cells.
I see. Okay.
Which is one of the most deadly frequencies we know.
The thing that was mentioned earlier was the submarine communications. They have 85 miles of antenna grid in the Great Lakes, you know.
Yeah.
And they're putting out... Well, they have more than one frequency, but the frequency that's most common is 67 hertz. Now, they call that ELF. That is not ELF. It's higher than that, but that's what the Navy calls it.
Yeah.
Now, anybody that would like to detect that signal, all I got to do is hook onto a water pipe or stick a ground rod in the earth and hook it to just a high-gain op-amp and drive it into an oscilloscope. And
there you are.
There's a little more to it than that, actually. You need a notch filter to cancel out 60 hertz because that's all around us.
Yeah.
But you can read the very slow serial code, the longs and the shorts and everything else that they're putting out. It takes about 20 minutes to send one simple sentence around the world because of the frequency that's involved.
Yeah.
But anyway, we've seen this in Bedini's lab. I've seen it here. Anyone that puts a little bit of amplification ahead of us, any kind of decent oscilloscope can see the 67 hertz that's being transmitted from the Great Lakes for submarine communications worldwide.
Okay, Ron.
Okay, great talking to you, Ron.
And we'll get you two together when Andrea gets here.
That sounds great, Bill.
All right, thank you.
Sure appreciate being on the show tonight.
It's my pleasure, Ron.
Okay,
it's always fascinating talking to these minds, and these minds are telling us that there is another kind of war going on that makes the atomic bomb look like a little firecracker. And Peter Hercos, are you still there, Peter?
Yeah, Bill, listen.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you will come the 18th in Marriott Hotel by the airport, 10:30 to 5 o'clock. I'm going to demonstrate. I take any test that scientists may impose.
Are you going to be there? Dr.
Yes,
Hovrich will be there?
Yes, I'm going to take about 30, 40 people.
All right. And you're going to be on Open Mind here in a couple of weeks. We'll work that out this week as to just when.
And I sure like to be on your show and prove something to people in this world.
All right, you're going to get a chance, and I'm looking forward to that. We have Alan Vaughn in the studio with us, and we have Eric on the line. Hello, Eric.
Hello. In addition to providing a lot of very useful information, I'd like to say that your show also helps us improve the virtue of patience.
By sitting there forever, right?
Precisely. Yes, I'll send you my ear doctor's bill after he straightens up my cartilage.
I'm sorry, Eric. There's nothing else. There's nothing we can do.
No,
we can't bid space-time in here.
I know what you mean. I was calling about something that was mentioned some time ago in terms of this particular show, and that was the water that was given special properties by healers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if there was any information available as to how that water was used. Was it used, for example, in bath water? Was it used in sort of like anointing? Was it used for drinking? Or what kind of uses were made of it?
Okay, Eric, let me just say a few things. First, I'm going to speak extensively on that subject at the seminar. And if you can't make it, there will be a series of tapes available, which will go into all the lab detail and so on. But essentially, what is used is ordinary tap water. You don't have to have any special kind of water.
Mm-hmm.
The healer puts his hands around the water bottle, and it has to be of glass, silicon glass, not plastic. Plastic somehow absorbs the energy, and it doesn't get through the water.
Mm-hmm.
And the water has to be drunk once it's treated by the healer, in very small amounts, something like a teaspoonful a day. If you drink a glassful of it, it's a super relaxant. You just go to sleep. don't take a lot of this stuff and get in the car and drive. It's really bad for putting you to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
There are other properties which I don't want to go into, but as I say, you can pick all that up from the tape if you can't make it to the seminar.
All right, how have we got the tape?
Oh, you call up area code 213-393-9405. You got that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Eric.
Goodbye.
Okay, let me see. We have Jan, who's been waiting patiently on the line all night long. Jan?
Hi.
How's your ear?
Pretty good, thank you.
All right.
I'm concerned about various types of radiation from household appliances, my home computer, television, and things like that. And I was wondering what I can do about it, and in particular, whether the 8 hertz generator would be effective in neutralizing or reducing such radiation.
Okay, basically, I'm glad you brought this question up because I haven't touched upon it. We've only talked about warfare. But what happened is that a number of us developed ultra-sensitive equipment, which is not available on the market, so we can run around and measure all kinds of ELF radiation. And that's really the bad stuff because it acts on the DNA. And we found out, for example, that every television set or video display terminal puts out about 9.4 hertz, which is not good for your health without going into all the details. Every appliance in your home, whether it's a refrigerator, an air conditioner, and there isn't one that's exempt from this, will put out some frequency of ELF. Nobody planned it. It just happened in the construction and design of the equipment. Some of the equipment has been around for years. Nobody ever measured it before until we had this ultra-sensitive equipment to measure these very, very weak magnetic fields. And that goes, you know, on for a long time, all the things that cause it. Cars are very, automobiles are a very bad source of ELF radiation. A lot of people go to sleep at the driver's wheel just because of the frequency of the ELF put out by the motor and the spark and so on. We have found in our research over a number of years that the watch that I'm speaking about does protect you against these fields, but you have to wear it 24 hours a day because you build up a field on your body with time, and the longer you wear it, the bigger the field and the more protection you get. Usually it takes 3 to 4 days to build up a field adequate for heavy-duty protection. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Jan, there's one thing that you might, what we've been experimenting with over at my home, which seems to be some sort of an experimental place a lot. But we have taken just a common ordinary quartz crystal.
Yeah.
And strapped that to the AC inlet to the refrigerators, the television sets, the computers, and things like that that are over there, and have seen a dramatic reduction in the ELF that comes
out. That occurs. And incidentally, you probably know this, Bill, but if you take the crystal in your hand and what we call program it, that is kind of talk to it, your hand puts out, almost in most people, 8 hertz signal. And it will remember that signal, and that's what protects you against the effects of the ELF.
Okay.
Wow. See? Yes, where can I get a crystal like that, or is it just any crystal?
Oh, you can get them at Alexandria, too, is a good place. Heidi Hill Enterprise. What part of town do you live in?
West L.A.
Oh, Bodie Tree.
Okay.
They would have them for you down there. That's close.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye.
I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind on a Saturday night on KM. Bob, on the line.
Hello, Bill. I'd like to ask a question about the polar shift that I hear so much about that's coming. Does this ELF transmission, will it have some effect on the polarity of the planet?
Are you asking me the question?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
We don't know. Let me explain a little bit of the background on what we do know. Nikola Tesla first discovered that ELF radiation sent through the Earth can cause shifts in the plates, can cause earthquakes, etc. The Soviets in 1976 particularly were experimenting with the effect of the ELF on earthquakes. And we have good evidence, which leads me to believe, that the Soviet experiments with ELF waves caused the greatest earthquake of this century, the Tangshan earthquake in China in August of 76. And the experimenters were just shocked by the effects, as we hear from the underground out of Russia, and they quit doing this because they didn't know what would happen. And Tom Bearden and his colleagues believe, from their calculations, that if somebody uses ELF, or scalar waves really more precisely, indiscriminately on the Earth, you can set up a resonance between the Earth and the Sun, which could cause something like a polar shift. So this is a real hazard, and this is one of the reasons we ought to stop playing with these gigantic weapons that can disturb natural forces.
That's all we need to do is start resonating the Earth and Sun.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, you know. That's perfect.
May I suggest that the Great Siberian Mystery, that Great Siberian explosion early on in this century was Tesla testing one of his scalar technologies?
You know, I can well believe that because Tesla was very active during that period, 1908. You know, he had the Long Island transmitter going. He'd done experiments in Colorado Springs, etc. And it would be interesting to nail that down from, you know, somebody who was a witness like, some of the people we know who worked with them.
Well, I've read the accounts of the people that were close by, and they said it was a strange light that came out from one direction, and when it landed, it sent a shockwave out, and where it landed, it blew all the trees out in a perfect circle
right.
In every direction, and people felt it from miles away. We were thrown dozens of feet, and windows broke and everything, and it left a sort of saturated energy in the air, almost like a radioactive, but it wasn't quite the same thing.
Well, I can well believe it, and I don't want to go into details, but some of these things are pretty hairy and scary.
Yeah.
There's some modern, recent evidence that somebody's playing that game on this planet.
That's too bad.
Yes, we see a lot of evidence of that, Bob. Very very perceptive of you.
Unfortunately. Well, enjoy your show, and thanks for all you two are doing.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for
being
bored.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, Craig, you're on.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to say that you have a wonderful show, Bill. I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
And I have two questions, one for Dr. Buharic and one for Peter Herkos.
Okay.
My first question is, I joined the program late. I missed the first hour, so maybe you've already said this. But
shame on you.
Yeah. Is there any available literature in a standard college library that one could go and look up and get some basic information on the ELF phenomenon? Has Dr. Buharic, for example, written a book or an article or something?
Well, let me answer your question. Is this the same Craig we talked to before?
No, this is a different
one.
Oh,
okay.
Basically, I wrote a book about this 7 years ago under contract with my publisher, the major publisher whom I've had for years, and the book has been censored for 7 years by the FBI. That's a fact, okay? No joke.
No.
Number two, we have been able to establish an organization outside the United States in Canada, which is called the Planetary Association for Clean Energy, or PACE, the Latin ablative form for peace, Pace. And we recently generated a database of some 1,500 items culled from the world literature on ELF. And let me quickly give you the address of where to write.
Okay.
It is, as I say, Pace, and the address is 100 Bronson, B-R-O-N-S-O-N Street. And it's in Ottawa, Canada. I don't have the zip code off the top of my head, but you can call up Ottawa and get the zip for that area, okay?
Okay.
And you get all the literature you want.
There's a lot of it there.
What exactly does ELF stand for?
Extremely low frequency, and very specifically magnetic waves, not electromagnetic waves.
I see.
All right, okay? Your question for Peter real quick.
Mr. Herkos, many people in Southern California have been getting the message that in 1987, in the first half of 1987, there will be a major earthquake. Can you confirm that?
Hello.
Yes, Peter, he wanted to know if you could confirm if there was going to be a major earthquake in early 1987.
There's going to be a tremendous earthquake. Nobody knows exactly when, but it will be very close, and better people has flashlights and food around it. Want to go to be the civil defense going in there, and you're going to check. The stores will be damaged. I hope I was wrong, but I have seen it very clearly. But nobody knows the date yet.
Okay.
But I would say October, November.
Of next year?
This year.
This year?
1986.
In other words...
Very close, yes.
Very close.
Nice.
I can miss maybe about 2 weeks or 3 weeks, but in that area...
All right, so you say we're in for it, huh, Peter?
Yes.
Okay. Listen, right. Our time is up, Craig. Thank you for that call.
Thank you very much.
And Peter, thanks a lot for telling
Bill,
us that.
Bill, I sure like to be on your show and prove something.
All right, you're going to be on in a couple of weeks. I'll get with you Monday, and we'll see you and Andrea out at the Airport Marriott Hotel. Alan Vaughn, thank you for dropping in, and Andrea Paharich, looking forward to you coming to town. It'll be grand to be with you again.
And I'll see you next week.
Next week, we'll have Nick Nasserino on. We'll be talking about that crystal skull and many other things. So you join us then for Open Mind next week.